بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. My dear respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, we started this chapter of hadith last week. بَابُ فَضْلِ الْحُبِّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْحَثِّ عَلَيْهِ وَإِعْلَامِ الْرَجُلِ مَنْ يُحِبُّهُ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّهُ وَمَاذَا يَقُولُ لَهُ إِذَا أَعْلَمَهُ. The chapter in which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is going to bring those ahadith in which he mentions the virtues of loving each other for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and to encourage us to do this and to inform when a person loves someone only for the sake of Allah, no other worldly motive, so to inform him that he loves him. To is bab ke andar Allah Ta'ala ke waaste kisi se muhabbat rakhna, اور اگر اللہ تعالیٰ کے واسطے کسی سے محبت کی جائے تو ان کو بتا دینا کہ میں تمہیں اللہ تعالیٰ کے واسطے محبت کرتا ہوں، اللہ کے لیے میں تم سے محبت رکھتا ہوں. So the first hadith of this chapter, بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وعن انس رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ عن النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم قال ثلاث من كن فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان ان يكون الله ورسوله احب اليه مما سواهما وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْءَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates this hadith. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, Urdu mein pehle tarjuma kar leta hu. Is hadith sharif ki rawi Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu hai. Wo riwayat farmate hain ki Rasoolullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne irshad farmaya, teen khaslatein ایسی ہے کہ اگر کسی کے اندر آ جائے تو اس شخص کو ایمان کی لذت، ایمان کی حلاوت اس شخص کو حاصل ہو جائے گا، مطلب وہ ایمان کی لذت چکھ لے گا. اور یہ تین چیزیں کیا ہیں؟ اَن يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. یہ سب سے پہلی خصلت ہے کہ اس بندے کے لیے، اس شخص کے لیے اللہ اور رسول، اس بندے کے دل کے اندر اللہ اور رسول کی محبت باقی چیزوں سے زیادہ ہو، سب سے زیادہ اس کے دل کے اندر اللہ اور رسول کی محبت ہو. اور دوسری صفت یہ ہے کہ وَأَن يُحِبَّ الْمَرْءَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ، کسی دوسرے شخص سے یہ محبت کرتا ہے اور اس کی محبت صرف اللہ تعالیٰ کی وجہ سے ہوتا ہے، اللہ تعالیٰ کے لیے ہوتا ہے. اور تیسری خصلت یہ ہے کہ جب سے اللہ تعالیٰ نے اس کو کفر سے نجات دیا، کفر سے نکالا، اس کے بعد کفر میں واپس جانا، مطلب اسلام کو چھوڑنا، اس کے لیے اتنا ناپسندیدہ ہوں کہ وہ زیادہ گوارا کرے گا کہ آگ میں اس کو ڈالا جائے لیکن کفر میں اس کو گوارا نہیں ہوگا، کہ مجھے کوئی آگ میں جلا دے لیکن میں کافر نہیں بنوں گا، اسلام کو نہیں چھوڑوں گا. So this hadith is a very important hadith. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, there are three qualities. Whoever possesses these three qualities, وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, he will find through these three qualities the taste of iman. Taste kehte hain hum, halawa. The pleasure of iman. The pleasure of iman, the taste of iman, the sweetness of iman. The first is that أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا, that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more beloved to Him than anyone else other than them. And secondly, that He loves another person and He does not love him for anything else except for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. It's very difficult, this quality. We'll come to it, inshallah. And the third is that He dislikes, after Allah subhanahu, He dislikes to return to kufr after Allah ta'ala has freed him from it, the same way He dislikes to be thrown into a fire. So the same dread or fear a person has of falling into a fire, because they know this is the end of me, I'll be finished. That's the same fear he has of going into kufr and the actions of kufr or anywhere near kufr. So these three qualities, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, whoever can embody these three qualities, they will taste the sweetness of iman. So what is this sweetness of iman? Ulama have explained different things here. First thing they mention, that the sweetness of iman is the pleasure of doing good deeds. That when a person does good a'mal, they enjoy it. So whoever has these three qualities, whenever they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wo isse maza lenge. They will enjoy it. Allah ta'ala ki ta'at mein inko maza hasil hoga. They will enjoy it. This is the first opinion that's been given. Another opinion has been given, it's very similar as well, that worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be more important to them than anything else. This is the sweetness of iman. But the reality is these are all different qualities. You know the sharihin of hadith. Those who explain hadith in their own ways. But the reality is the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the saints of Allah ta'ala, they live this. And we see from the lives of the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is a real sweetness that they acquire. And the sweetness of iman, it's not just mentioned in this hadith, many different places. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, whoever saves their eyes from the evil gaze, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the sweetness of iman. So they experience it, they taste it, they say there is a sweetness, such a pleasure that is felt that a person never wishes to leave it. Or jab insan ko ta'at aur ibadat ka maza hasil ho jaye, iske baad is shakhs ke liye kisi aur cheez ke andar maza hasil nahi hota. He doesn't enjoy anything else. There was a time maybe when that person used to enjoy watching TV. Maybe he used to enjoy playing football. Maybe he used to enjoy playing games or this and that. People enjoy reading this and that. But after he experiences the pleasure of iman, he can't come out of it anymore. There's no other alternative to it. He tries going back to the old things and he feels, I'm not enjoying this. That's why Sayyidina Mawlana Fadlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayh, he's a great saint of India, Hindustan, bahut bade ek buzurg the. And sometimes he would start crying. So someone said to him, Hazrat, why are you crying? What's making you cry? And he would say, ke is dunya ke andar mujhe sabse zyada lazzat namaz ke andar milti hai. That I experience the most joy in my salah. However, when a person passes away and goes into the grave, you know, many ahadith have been mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The grave expands as far as the eye can see. For the pious person, the grave expands as far as the eye can see. The grave says, from all the people who used to walk upon me, you are the most beloved to me. And today you have come into me, let me show you what I will do for you. It expands as far as the eye can see. A door of Jannah is open. The khushbu, the smell of Jannah comes into the grave. All of this has been mentioned. He says, well, nowhere does it mention that we can perform salah in the grave. And this is what I fear, that I'm going to go into the grave and the thing which I enjoy the most, I won't be able to do it anymore. So this would time to time make him weep. He thinks, subhanAllah. And then after he passed away, someone saw him in a dream, mashallah, he was in his grave, he had his sajjada, he had his musalla set, and he was standing on his musalla and he was busy engaged in salah. Similarly, Shaykh Abdul Quddus Gangohi rahimahullah, another great saint of Allah Ta'ala. It's the actions which are most dear to you. Allah Ta'ala says, my servant, this action was most beloved to him. He can carry on doing it in the barzakh. Let him do it all the way till he meets me. Even in Jannah, they will continue. Because they enjoyed it the most. Shaykh Abdul Quddus Gangohi, he was a great saint from India. His most beloved deed to him was reciting Durood Sharif. Sending salutations upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he had one particular durood and salawat, one particular durood that he would recite. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin bi'adadi kulli dharratin alfa marra. He would recite this again and again. Again, someone saw him after he passed away and he was in his grave and he was reciting this. So this is the reality. When a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a person the maza, the taste of and the enjoyment of good a'mal, then they just want to increase. They don't stop. They'll say, you know what, I'm reciting Durood Sharif, salutation, salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Currently my habit is, and we'll see one thing with all these pious people is that they will have habits. Is tarah nahi hoga ke aaj kuch karenge, kal kuch aur karenge. No, they will have habits like clockwork. You look at them 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years later and you see their habits are their habits. They've solidified them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's habit was like this. Everybody would know at this time what Rasulullah is doing, at this time what he is doing. So they have their habits and they just carry on increasing. So for example, in the morning or at night time, imagine they wake up for tahajjud salah and they recite a certain portion. Then they'll increase it. Through time, they'll increase it. Because they take so much pleasure from it that it's just a time comes when it's like, I'm doing too little. It's like the bodybuilder who goes to the gym, starts with his 20 kg. Oh mashallah, that's someone like me, starts with 20 kg. And then 40 kg, 50 kg, 60. And if he's doing 60 kg for too long, his muscles, nothing's happening. You know, then he says, I've got to add more so I really feel what, you know, I feel that I'm increasing, I'm improving. And that's the whole enjoyment of it. That's why when someone can lift 500 kg or 400, I don't know what the record is, Askar bhai would know. Someone can lift everyone says, yes, you know, they applaud him because mashallah, this person is making strides. So similarly, the pious people are like this. They're never satisfied, always want to increase. Everybody has bad days, you know, some days it happens, obviously marriage and then children and then family situations and then so many other things can happen, a death in the family and illness. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that Allah subhanahu wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that if the servant of Allah is consistent and punctual upon good deeds, and that can only happen with a timetable, every single day at this time you're reciting this, at this time you're performing nafil salah, at this time, and don't take these things lightly. One of the great saints of Hindustan, I was reading one of the great saints of India, he used to mention, you know, things that we take for granted, like Ayatul Kursi, reciting Ayatul Kursi after salah. Similarly, when the adhan goes, to not speak during the adhan. Similarly, obviously, your tahajjud, your ishraq, and chasht. I'll mention what he wrote. He mentions when he used to advise his students, he used to say, never speak during the adhan. Chunke adhan ke duran baat karne se, baat cheet karne se, musibate aur balaye bohut jaldi bande par aa jaati hai. Now, when a person speaks during adhan, unnecessary talk, then hardships and difficulties come quickly to this person. And then he would say to his students, Ayatul Kursi, kisi namaz ke baad, kisi bhi namaz ke baad, Ayatul Kursi ko mat bula karo. Har namaz ke baad, Ayatul Kursi ko pabandi se padha karo. Why? Because Ayatul Kursi padhne se, jannat ke andar aapke liye, jannat is has shauk inside of Jannah for you. And the hoor and everything of Jannah, they have shauk is created inside of them for you. They pull you towards them. And then he would mention that never miss the Ishraq Salah and the Chasht Salah, which are in the morning. He said, whoever performs Ishraq and Chasht Salah with abundance, then all of their financial problems, they will never go through any financial problems. Because this is the time of the day when people are going out and working. And this person in the time of the day is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all financial calamities, Allah ta'ala will protect them from. And he would mention, never miss the Tahajjud Salah. Because through Tahajjud Salah, Allah ta'ala will give you the ability to see him in the dunya. Seeing him in the dunya, obviously nobody can see him in the dunya, meaning you will gain the ma'rifah and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these actions have to be done with punctuality. So in this hadith it's mentioned these three qualities, whoever can bring them inside of themselves, Allah ta'ala will give them the pleasure, the taste of iman, the sweetness of iman, the pleasure of iman. Firstly, Allah and His Rasul are more beloved to us than anything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words, they are in front of us, everything else is forgotten. Nothing else matters. Allah and His Rasul have said it, khalas, the end of story. Obviously, for a normal person, we should ask scholars as well. MashaAllah, we've got a lot of young people, they read a hadith somewhere and they say, Rasulullah said this, but my local scholar says something different, so I'm going to practice this, local scholar can, but we're not going to listen to him. But remember, this local scholar has also recited or read what you've read. And he's obviously understood it to a better degree than you've understood it. So we have to be careful of this as well. Unfortunately, this slogan now, Quran and Hadith slogan. Everybody wants to act upon Quran and Hadith. There's no Muslim, Sunni Muslim who says, I don't believe in Quran and Hadith. I don't want to practice upon Quran and Hadith. Or that Quran and Hadith are not important to me. Every Sunni Muslim will say, Quran and Hadith are ala ra'si wal ayn. You know, sami'na wa ta'na. Whenever Allah Ta'ala has said something, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something, we listen and we obey. But there's also a due process. The ulama of deen have looked at all the ahadith, all the Quran ayat, and then through the fahm and the understanding Allah has given them, they have extracted masail, rulings. This is known as fiqh. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ Whoever Allah Ta'ala grants goodness to, Allah gives them the understanding of deen. Understanding of deen comes when a person has Quran and hadith in front of them, and then they derive the essence of Quran and hadith. Quran or hadith ke nichor jo hoti hai, isko fiqh kaha jata hai. Or fuqaha-e kiram, that's why the ulama of hadith jo hote the pehle zamane, pehle sadiyon ke andar, they would respect the fuqaha greatly, greatly. That's why Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, was known as Amirul Mu'mineen fil hadith. He used to say about Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi, there are many quotes like this, Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi, that these two are the only two scholars that I know. Even though he studied with so many muhaddithun, but he's trying to say there are so many people who know hadith, but to draw and derive the lessons from hadith, you need a faqih, A person who can go deep into the hadith and extract the deeper meanings. And that's why, you know, inshallah, this is a separate topic. But the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their teaching should be more beloved to us than anybody else or anything else. And secondly, and this is Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought this hadith in this chapter, this is the reason why the second part, that a person loves another person and the only reason for loving them is for the sake of Allah ta'ala alone. There's no worldly motive, there's no worldly gain that the person expects from them. It's just for the sake of Allah ta'ala. And the reality is that a Muslim should love every other Muslim just for the sake of Allah. It's not that me kisi nek shakhs se mulaqat ho jaye to mere dil ke andar is sirf is nek shakhs ke liye itna zyada muhabbat hai kyunki ye bahut nek hai aur ye bahut bada ye hai alim hai wagaira. No, the reality is that every Muslim should have the same muhabba for every other Muslim. If a person says, you know, I have this muhabba for this certain person who lives in this certain town, that's not good enough. That shows a deficiency in our iman. That, okay, I love this particular pious person who I love and respect. I love them for the sake of Allah. That's one example. Everybody loves someone or the other for the sake of Allah that they look up to and respect. The reality of iman is established when a person loves all of the Muslims for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Even if that Muslim is a pious person or if the Muslim is a simple person, who's, you know, maybe has a lot of faults and mistakes. Doesn't matter. The person is a Muslim, I love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I love them for the sake of Allah ta'ala, I'll help them, I'll assist them, I'll do whatever I can. I see my fellow Muslim in a situation which they shouldn't be in. Then I advise them, I guide them. Al-Muslimu mir'atul Muslim. Tell them what the correct thing is and to stay away from the wrong thing. Don't backbite about them, slander them, say to stay away from that person, this and that. Do our best as we can to help other people. So this, inshallah, we'll explain this later. Many ahadith are going to come. وَإِنْ يَكْرَهَ إِنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. And the third one is that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the beautiful blessing of iman, a person hates to go back to kufr the same way a person dislikes to be thrown into a fire. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice on this hadith. Next week, inshallah, we'll move on to the next hadith. Long hadith, we've completed previously as well. We'll do this next week. جزاك الله خير سبحان الله الحمد لله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك